Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and co-host Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, Human Events, and we welcome our informant, Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We begin in New York City, a troubled city in recovery from the pandemic. And now the story, underlined by the director of the FBI, of a plan to attack synagogues in New York by violent means. A puzzling story because it did not happen, and we can only speculate how large this plan was. But in any event, it does underline anti-Semitism. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. We've talked about anti-Semitism in Europe. We've talked about the incidents in New York. Is your sense this plan of the synagogue comes out of all of that momentum? Or are these unusual actors? Are they standalones? Good evening to you, Malcolm.
Good evening to both of you. This is a disturbing story because the information only came out late on a Friday. On last Friday, and the notice had to get out to synagogues, and emergency efforts were undertaken. The police, the FBI, everybody really worked hard together with the Jewish community to alert people. And eventually they even got a picture off the internet of one of the people suspected of being involved and circulated it. Eventually they were caught at Penn Station in New York City. One was immediately from the Long Island area and the other from the area generally. So we still don't know too much about them, except that they were plotting an attack. They had a gun, Glock. One of them had a Nazi armband. And they were, this was coming just a short while after the anniversary of the attacks in Pittsburgh. Though we don't know that there is a direct correlation, but we often see that around anniversaries of events that get publicity, it invokes these kind of actions. But the head of the FBI, who responded to a question by Congressman Josh Gottheimer about attacks on the synagogues in New Jersey that were independent of this one, and addressed the issue of anti-Semitism as a national priority, saying that 64% of all attacks, hate crimes, are against Jews, who represent, he said, 2.5% of the population, and that they are getting hit from all sides and desperately need further support, both from the agency in response to these attacks and from others. And this violence and anti-Semitic attacks can't be dismissed because we've seen them carry out. It's resulted in deaths and in physical damage and assaults. There is no day, I would say, when there aren't reports in the New York area of these attacks, as well as across the country, and especially on campuses. So there's a heightened state of alert. And that's why sometimes some of the recent incidents have gotten strong reactions when people engage in anti-Semitic speech, especially people who have popular followings, because we know that it then is reflected in the actions taken, especially by young people, but people of all ages, and the amount of hate groups that are operative in the United States, both from the left and the extreme right, pose a challenge. And law enforcement at all levels has to respond.
Too many villains. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, what do we know about chemical weapons in Syria?
So this is a recently breaking story that I think is of great significance because of the potential. We know that Hezbollah is storing hundreds of missiles carrying a toxic chemical payload. They're stored in a warehouse in Al-Qusair, which is near the Lebanese-Syrian border. This is a report that came from the Saudi Al-Haddad newspaper yesterday. They say 110 Bajar missiles and over 300 Fatah missiles, all carrying the toxic chemical thionyl chloride, are involved. They said experts from North Korea injected the toxic chemicals into the missiles under the supervision of Iranian chemical weapons experts. And the missiles are to be moved to the Binjibil area in southern Lebanon near a base belonging to UNIFIL to bring it closer to the Israeli border. It is of great concern because the use of chemical weapons obviously is a violation. It's a war crime, but it shows the desperation and the attempts that are being made to escalate this the effort and their activities to be able to attack Israel in many ways. So they're reportedly made in Masyaf, Syria, with the help of the IRGC, and are now already deployed. And there will have to be special actions to address this.
We have a story that's strange, Malcolm. You can sort it out. Russia is importing drone-making technology from Iran to manufacture in Russia. Is that the story?
That is the story. And we know that Russia bought Iranian missiles and drones in recent months, some of it actually going back even before the conflict, we think. But now they reached an agreement where Tehran will begin manufacturing hundreds of unmanned weaponized drones in Russia. And there was a meeting of Russian and Iranian officials in early November where they started to move to transfer designs and key components that would allow the production to begin within months. This obviously has implications then for the Ukrainian, the war in Ukraine and the stability in the region.
That is?
Malcolm, not content with screaming death to America and death to Israel, the Iranians are now talking about death to Canadians and Britons?
That's right. There's a report just in the last day about threats against Canadians, but equally disturbing are the threats against British citizens, which the British government has revealed. There are more two aspects. One is Iranian dissidents who've been terrorized by Iranian spies in Britain. And there are a number of cases that have become public with their names, people who have written against the government and exposing some of the actions by the government. Iran has sent a hit squad that was sent to assassinate dissidents on British soil. They are now being provided around-the-clock police protection. And this is an attempt to stop the journalists, but to stop other dissidents from building support in Iran. This is shows the reach of the Iranian government. And it's not just in Britain. We know that it's true in other places. But there's also stories where they have hired detectives and to spy on dissidents in various countries, including in the United States. And they tell them that it's because somebody who owes money, somebody other covers for it. So the detectives don't necessarily know who they're surveilling or why. But they later learned that they were being run by intelligence agents from Iran in a plot to kidnap people, including a prominent Iranian-American journalist who has been critical of the human rights abuses in Iran. So this is an extension now of the earlier stories that we've seen about Iranian efforts to silence any critics. We know that they've taken actions in France and Germany and elsewhere, but this is a concerted effort in Britain that has British authorities very concerned. We also should look at some of the other stories that have come. One of the stories that we saw from the demonstrations in Iran is that hundreds have been blinded by metal pellets and very strong rubber bullets that are being fired by the forces against the demonstrators. And the demonstrators now have taken responsive action and have, in fact, been responsible for killing a number of the security agents and people who've been involved in the most successive efforts against them. We also see the demonstrations spreading to new areas and continuing with very strong support. The Iranians, by the way, also were talking about an attack against the FIFA games, but were worried about the backlash that it would evoke. Of great concern also is the expansion of their nuclear program, which is now estimated to be much closer to fruition, and that they have enough enriched uranium being produced at 6,000 IRGC, IR4, and IR2 centrifuges, which have been added since the last inspection, which took place in August, supposedly 1,740 new centrifuges, which means they can produce much more, an installed capacity 50% larger than it was just 3 months ago. And the breakout time to produce the weapon-grade uranium is cut significantly. They have enough enriched uranium at 60% that in a short while, they can produce 3, 4, 5 bombs, and that they will now, we believe, enrich at 90%, which is weapons grade. And Iran's decision to remove all of the IAEA agency's equipment that was installed for surveillance and monitoring activities is detrimental for their activities. The IAEA finally did criticize in a resolution the Iranians, which is something they have fought. They keep making promises before every meeting that they will comply, yet they have not given any access to the places where enriched uranium was found in their facilities. They're not allowing the cameras to be operative. So we really are blinded in terms of Iran's activities in terms of the nuclear program. What we do know is that a drone that hit the Israeli-owned tanker in Oman, near Oman, that we mentioned last week, it has now been determined that this was fired from Iran, from IRGC base, Iran Revolutionary Guard base, and it did damage. It didn't sink the ship, but they're no longer hiding behind proxies. We see the Iranians now doing it in a much more blatant way. Israel, in response, is developing means to tap to counter this new threat from Iran. We see also that the advance of their efforts within Syria, even though they may be lowering their profile there, but they are increasing their activities in Syria, with both in terms of the missiles, both in terms of their Revolutionary Guard activities, as they are in Iraq. And there's a lot of concern about the expansion of these activities, taking advantage of Russia's attention being distracted to the war in the Ukraine.
Malcolm, I want to steer us to another border. This would be Iraq, Iran, Turkey, the Kurds. There's plenty of report of troublemaking across the border, and especially with the regime in Iraq, which is non-transparent to me. What can you tell me about the dispute?
Well, the dispute, first of all, Turkey and it has been hitting the PKK in Syria and Iraq. The Iranians have been hitting PKK facilities and forces in Iraq, claiming that they're responsible for the violence and the demonstrations inside Iran, which is obviously patently false. So there is an escalation on both sides, and the activities by Iran inside Iraq have continued to escalate because they are trying to use it as a base of operation, both against Israel, as a backbone for their activities in Syria. Turkey and Iran are basically in competition right now with the reduced role of Russia. The United States is taking all of this very seriously. And we know now that the United States Navy is going to be placing hundreds of unmanned surface and submarine unmanned vehicles in the Gulf and in areas adjacent to the Gulf within the next months up to next year in order to counter the increasing threats that they are facing from all of the parties, from Iran, from Turkey, from others, against U.S. shipping, U.S. Interests. We saw that Turkey has, by the way, been on a charm offensive. Erdogan met with Sisi on the sidelines of the COP27. He's also made the outreach to some of the other countries, including Jordan and other Arab countries. And that obviously contributes to a more peaceful region when Turkey is not in conflict. But the situation is very fluid. Turkey is facing elections. They have internal problems. Iran certainly is facing these demonstrations, which it thought long ago would have been quelled, and therefore look to strike out. And anybody they can blame for the demonstration originally was the United States and Israel and others, but now they are blaming the PKK as a cover for their attacks on them.
Quickly, Malcolm, we need good news. Azerbaijan in Jerusalem, what's happened? Quickly.
Well, after many years of good relations, Azerbaijan has announced this week that they're opening an embassy in Israel. This is adding to the other Central Asian states and will be another step in developing Israel's presence in the region.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness, Human Events. When we come back, the Dusty One will be here, Indiana himself. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit WashableSofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.